Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello. Welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen. See what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
The breaking news today has been that detectives think, that the man who committed this appalling atrocity, I mean, beyond words, absolutely beyond words, may well be in prison in Germany, and it may well bring a close for the McCann family. Gosh, I hope it does. It must be so tragic for them. I don't know how they... It just must be terrible. Daryl Jackson, Talk Radio newsreader and reporter, has been following this story over the last 10 years. Daryl.
Hello, James. Yes, some breaking news, actually, in the last few minutes. The Metropolitan Police has revealed that they've had more than 270 calls and emails since launching this new appeal over the disappearance of Madeleine McCann yesterday. And obviously, as you say, German authorities said they think she was killed. That's contrary to what police are still saying here. They're still very much treating this as a missing person case until, and they've said this all along, James, until they get very clear evidence otherwise.
Gosh, I hope she is still alive. I really do.
But the guy in Germany is in prison for murder,
I think, and rape, and various other things.
They're saying, you know, he's in prison for previously being convicted of crimes against children, and is currently in jail, serving a long sentence, is all we know at the moment on that one.
And how did they suddenly put these two this guy together with this case?
Well, that's not known. It's not known, kind of. What they know on this guy, what this guy has said. It's been very quiet. All that we can say at the moment, all that people have been saying, is that they hope this is a significant lead. And in fact, I think Madeleine's parents said earlier that this is kind of one of the most significant leads in the last 13 years since she disappeared.
But, you know, I don't know how they manage. I mean, bless them, they've kept this story in the news agenda, whether on the front pages or not. They've kept it there for 13 years.
Yeah, they have. And the thing that struck me, because I covered this back in 2007 when it happened, I actually went out to Prague Deluge at the time, and you know, there was pictures of Madeleine's face everywhere. It really kind of struck with people, not only in the UK, but right across the world. There was this three-year-old girl with a family on holiday. They were two doctors, and most of us probably have a package holiday, you know, once a year, and for their daughter just disappeared. The story really kind of hit a nerve across the world. And even where she lived, I spent time there from a little village in Leicestershire called Rokely. I spent time there, and the community there, they were kind of all supporting the family. I remember back 10 years ago, there were pink ribbons tied to railings everywhere. You couldn't move for pink ribbons. And people kind of hoping and praying that, you know, there would be a good outcome to this.
It must have been very, very difficult for them to get on with their lives, but they did remarkably well, didn't they? I mean, I think Madeleine's dad's a doctor. I think they both are, aren't they?
Yes, he's a heart doctor, if I remember. Yeah. I think his wife, Kate McCann, she was a GP at the time in Melton Mowbray, I believe, and her father was a heart surgeon.
But how, you know, they spent £11 million on this investigation, all the police forces in Portugal. And this guy was a convicted sex offender living in Prague Deluge, wasn't he?
Just outside.
Well, why did they not look at this guy before? Or maybe
they
did.
I don't think they knew he was a convicted.
Yeah. He sold a car, didn't he, the day after.
He did. Yeah. And I don't know, I remember, obviously this is like 13 years ago, I remember something, they mentioned something today on the news when I was watching that earlier, to say that he'd changed his number plates on his car shortly after Madeline had gone missing. Now, I remember covering that, I'm sure I do, about 13 years ago.
Oh, really? A Jaguar,
whether
wasn't
been,
it?
Whether he's been on their radar for a while.
Right, oh, that's interesting.
But, you know, at the moment, you know, they're saying very little about this 43-year-old German suspect at the moment. There's speculation, has he confessed or not to something? Because the police in Germany are quite clearly, you know, treating this as a murder investigation, whereas the Metropolitan Police, as we know, are not.
Mm-hmm. Are they now or not? Or they're still not?
They're still not.
But they want, in some way, to find an explanation where she may be or to find, sadly, a body.
Mm. Well, that was what was said earlier by the Metropolitan Police, is that, you know, at the moment, because there is no body, she has never been found, they're reluctant to kind of treat this as a murder investigation until there's some clear evidence that that is what happened.
Daryl, thank you very much indeed. Hope that this is perhaps the positive end of this tragic story. Daryl Jackson, Talk Radio newsreader and reporter. He has to get back for his next bulletin.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Now, here's another interesting story. Scientists have hit out at plans for quarantine. Leading scientists have warned the Prime Minister 2-week foreign quarantine plans makes no sense. So we've got Professor Paul Hunter, Professor of Medicine at the University of East Anglia. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening to you.
Is it a stupid idea?
Well, I think it depends on the context. And at the moment, certainly, I can't see any value when most countries on the planet have substantially less transmission than we have in the UK. And so people coming into this country from, say, Spain, we are probably more at risk from the immigration officer than the immigration officer is at risk from them at the moment. So in that context, it doesn't actually add to public health, any real public health value. And it does bring with it considerable issues for trade and indeed tourism, if we ever get to that this year. And so one would have hoped that if to do something like that, there would have been fairly strong public health consensus that was actually going to be benefited in reducing infection, which I think you've probably gathered that there's fairly unanimous scientific consensus that this probably doesn't have a huge amount of public health value, certainly at the moment.
Should it have been done at the start, maybe? Would it have helped at the very start?
The problem, you know, if we had introduced it at the start, we would have probably chosen to ban flights incoming from China. Actually, almost all of the UK cases that we've had can trace their origin back to Italy. So, you know, essentially at the beginning, we would have had to close our borders to everybody. Yeah. And the evidence from past history, going back, you know, centuries to the Black Death, is that travel restrictions like that, they can sometimes delay by a matter of a few weeks, but generally rarely actually impact on the totality of the outbreak.
Although 3,000 Atletico Madrid fans wouldn't help.
Well, indeed not. And I think that's a slightly different issue because that's a mass gathering.
Yeah.
And certainly I think the evidence at the time was very clear that actually mass gatherings are a risk of transmission of infectious disease. And, you know, in our own work, we've found that banning mass gatherings across Europe was one of the more important steps that you could take to reduce the spread of the infection.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is there anything that we could have done better that we would have known about? Or is it just a question that we've never really been hit by anything like this, not as far as I can hear, that, you know, we had to do what we felt was right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think actually in the first parts of the outbreak, we did really well. I think that the UK's initial diagnosis, contact tracing, getting people into hospital went very well, and I think we did that to a very high standard in the UK. The problem occurred when actually the large number of cases across the whole country that amongst people, many of whom were relatively young and therefore would probably have very few symptoms, coming into this country from Italy. And at that point, you know, it was... it was game over in terms of trying to contain it, and then we had the issue. Then we had difficulties over the delays in implementing lockdown, which certainly I think in retrospect we should have moved on that a lot quicker.
Right, Professor, thank you very much indeed for your time, and fascinating to know. So we will all be masking up. Ash, I believe, does anyway.
I double mask up.
Oh, you double mask up?
Yeah, double mask.
Professor Paul Hunter, thank you for that. Professor of Medicine at the University of East Anglia.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
We're going to now talk, I think, to Mike Yardley, as you quite rightly said. Do you know why we're going to talk?
Yes, because it's 76 years this Saturday since D-Day.
And we thought, well, we should mark, we won't be on the air, we should mark that by.
And what was the proper
discussion.
Name of D-Day? I think it was Operation Overlord, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Michael, no.
And I can't, you know, I can't tell you that 5,000 ships.
Amazing, yeah.
Went out to land there. And,
more than 150,000 troops. Terrible.
It was absolute carnage. Anyway, Mr. Yardley, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, James. Good evening, Ash. Good evening. Yeah, I mean, the scale of this operation is extraordinary. The invasion of Europe is Operation Overlord. The assault phase is Operation Neptune.
Ah, yes.
And the bit that came before that, amongst others, was Operation Fortitude, which was the extraordinary deception plan to mislead the Germans.
Well, that was as amazing as the actual operation, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Explain for people who don't know what happened.
Well, it's a lot to explain. Let's put it into context. That you've got these beaches in France, Usar, Omar, Gold, Juno and Sword.
Which I've actually been to, and I think everybody, if you get a chance, should just go and think about it.
It is, and going to the cemeteries as well, James. Yeah. I mean, it really does concentrate
your mind.
I
tell you, I went to one up in the hills of Normandy, because I used to have a house in Normandy, and I've never seen anything like it. And so, so well looked after, clean, so tidy, so...
Precise, aren't they, as well? Aren't they?
Beautifully tended and very terribly moving, indeed are the First World War cemeteries when you go there. Yeah. Now, what you have anyway are these beaches which are between Cherbourg and Deauville. And, of course, the Allies had to do everything they could to deceive the Germans. There was talk of, you know, invasion via Norway. There were talks of Brittany, but the coasts, it was just too far away. Holland was subject to flooding. Belgium had strong currents at the coast. And there were Germans, of course, waiting around Calais. So this is what dictated the Allies going for those beaches. But this was a massive operation. And we've spoken previously about Dunkirk. And, of course, when Dunkirk happened in 1940, you have the remnants of the army going back with French forces back to Britain, and you then have the Battle of Britain ensuing in the air soon after. But, of course, the Allies have to do something so they've got to defeat Hitler. Now, this is a major logistical operation. It's not just about fighting. It's about factories. So they've got to go to factories in America. They've got to get trucks and tanks and men trained in America and in Canada. They've got to win the Battle of the Atlantic, and that happens in 1943. Up to that point, the German U-boats had been dominant in the Atlantic, so you couldn't bring the materials across from the States to Europe to begin this massive operation. So from 1943, with the control of the Atlantic established, vast quantities of equipment could be brought over to Britain. Plans could be made. Troops could be trained in the US and Canada that would later come to Britain and train on the beaches. One of the advantages to those beaches that were selected was you could have training grounds on the opposite ground on the British side, on the coast, on the south coast. So it all fitted together in that sense.
Now, I have to say that
the Eisenhower is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you had
Eisenhower,
the overall commander of the American forces, and Monty, of course, was our ground forces commander. But there was a lot of politics playing here. Because
I have to say,
in 1944, they were looking to the end of the war, and Monty knew that the British forces had to be seen to take a big part, or we would lose our position as a strategic power.
Which we did a bit, didn't we? We became a junior partner, didn't we, in the peace? Sort of thing.
Yes, and Monty tried to manage the perception of that, and, well, it's, you know, a matter of history.
Didn't work so well.
Perhaps not, no.
And the Americans, I get a bit fed up with it, say, oh, they won the Second World War, when in fact they came more or less halfway through, didn't they?
I think that's the impression, of course. I mean, Hollywood, of course, gives the impression that, you know, it was Audie Murphy who won the war.
and we had to give them basically all our money, the Americans, after the war.
Yeah, well, we, of course, borrowed vastly to pay for the war.
Always interesting to talk, Mike. We'll talk again, I'm sure, before long. Mike Yardley, military historian. Thank you very much indeed.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale. Oh, sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.